Welcome to King James Seminary. Today we're looking at the ninth commandment found in Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. The ninth commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. And it reads, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." Now there's quite a bit involved in this short commandment. It not only includes what we call a lie, which is usually just a cover-up, but it also includes, in particular, besides the lie, perjury in a court of law. Now, according to John chapter 8, verse 44, the lie is to speak the devil's language. He is the originator, the father of lies. Now we are to stay away from joining nor contribute to conspiracies against the righteous and against righteous causes. Exodus chapter 23, verses 1 and 7. Exodus 23, 1 and 7. Verse 1, "Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness." Verse 7, "Keep thee far from a false matter and the innocent, and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked." Looking at these verses right off the bat, I think of the trial of Christ, what he went through and all the horrible lies that they tried to hurl at him. We're not to be, we're not to contribute or to the conspiracies against the righteous, according to Exodus 23, verses 1 and 7. We are not to be talebearers or gossipers, nor are we to falsely contribute to the capital punishment of our neighbor. This idea is found in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 16. In Leviticus 19:16, witness was to cast the first stone. Deuteronomy 17:7. Now, the Lord in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, warned us against even idle words. We need to be careful at all times of what we're saying, who we're saying it to, and motivation. Why are we saying this? A false witness and false accuser was to bear the punishment of the accused. This is found in Deuteronomy chapter 19, verses 18 and 19. Deuteronomy 19, verses 18 and 19. "The judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness, and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother. So shalt thou put the evil away from among you." We, instead, are called to be witnesses to others of the Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. In other words, we are to be at all times witnesses of the truth. And all truth points directly to Christ. Truth points to Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Christian message is to point others to Him. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John 1, 29. Now, we had mentioned the devil here. Devil in Greek simply and basically means accuser. He is the accuser of the brethren. You see this in Revelation chapter 12, verses 9 through 11. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused, past tense, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him, excuse me, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. False accusations for any motive bring judgment and wrath from God. And we see this in Psalm 101, verse 5. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off, him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Pride is often associated with this sin. If you notice that in the fall, how the devil fell because of his pride. Now, false witness, which includes deception, as we have seen here in these verses, false witness, which includes deception, is a trait of the last days. See 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Now, it seems like you can't even trust what is on the news. The news is bearing false witness of the actual facts. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. We are to try the spirits so we don't get wrapped up in the spirit of the age. We are to try the spirits as to whether they be true or not. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. That means we are to diligently inquire into the facts. That is our responsibility. It is to be only the enemies and adversaries of Christ and of His church that are to be false accusers. That means we have to be careful. It is not to be named among us. We are not to be named as a false accuser or be associated with that crime. Rather, let our yea be yea and nay, nay. Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Which basically means we are to stick to the facts. If I said yes, that's what I mean. If I say no, that's what I mean. So our statements, whether positive or negative, are to mean exactly that. There are not to be double meanings to it. We should be plain, open, simple, and truthful. Our truthfulness and good conduct. Our truthfulness and good conduct will bring to shame anyone who chooses to falsely accuse us. See 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, which reads, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation." Also along this line, 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you the reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." So this is the basics of apologetics, being able and ready to give an answer for every man that asketh you the reason of the hope. And when we are falsely accused, we will have an answer. And also our actions, so to speak louder than words sometimes. They will see your conduct and way of life and know that you are an honest person. And this honesty can only come about truthfully through Jesus Christ. God promises us His blessings if we endure false accusation for His sake. Matthew chapter 5, verse 11. So we're going to be accused, or could be accused, and possibly have been accused, of wrongdoing, But God promises His blessing if we are standing on His side. And Christians are to bear the truth in their heart, speaking with a clear conscience, not taking up a reproach against his neighbor. Now, we see this in Psalm 15, verses 1 through 3. Very interesting psalm. Psalm 15, 1 through 3, it says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. We will be judged by the truth. John chapter 12, verse 48. The Word of God. To it we must be true. John, toward the end of his life, he wrote some short letters. John the elder in the little book 3 John, verse 4. Makes this statement, which we should all hold dear in our hearts. And I think what we'll do here is we'll simply close with this admonition and this thought from John. 3 John verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Now that is a marvelous thing to hear, of the reputation of your children or grandchildren, that they walk in the truth, that is, how they live, their conversation in the world is in the truth. That should bring great joy to any parent or grandparent. And this we must strive to teach by verbally and by example to others as well as members of our family. We are responsible for this instruction. Okay, this will conclude the lesson on the Ninth Commandment. I hope you got a blessing out of it. And if you go over the information here, we'll be going on to the next commandment next time around. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear gracious Father, we thank Thee for sending Your Son, the way, the truth, and the life. And we thank Thee for all the joy that He brings us. We ask now that You'll cause us to walk in that truth. Give us faith, increase our faith, and give us eyes that we might see the light and wisdom to walk in that path. And Lord, we pray that You'll watch over each one and cause us to know Your Word and to proclaim it truthfully. For it is in Your name we pray. Amen.